3-3. Trimestrales de Vaughan. 3 meses y notarás la diferencia.
Disney English Vaughan está disponible en varias ciudades de España.
Para niños y niñas de 4 a 9 años.
Búscalo en grupovaughan.com y apúntalos ya.
A continuación, una clase que no te va a dejar indiferente, porque ya no hay excusas.
Everybody, how are you? How are you doing today? It is Tuesday. It's the second day of the week. And we got a nice program for you today. We do have, as always, lots to talk about on our Drive Time show. Let's see. Vamos a ver. Let's see what we have on the show today. We're going to talk, well, expressions and grammar and all of that. Also, we're going to look at some questions from you, the listener, in the return of our By Request section. And also, some weird news about a British woman who has lived off cheese sandwiches for nearly 30 years, eating nothing but cheese sandwiches. So to live off, vivir de algo, de, so you could say to live off to live from. So in other words, she only ate cheese sandwiches for 30 years. And she's, well, almost 30 years, because she's only 29, so a little bit younger. But, wow. Anyway, we'll see how that's working out for her. Also, our history section, the Space Shuttle Enterprise. Now, I'm not talking about Star Trek. I'm talking about the real Space Shuttle Enterprise by unveiled, right? Presented to the world by NASA on this day. In 1976. And of course, an important part of the shuttle program. And we'll take a little look at that and talk a little bit about NASA and the various space shuttles. We got lots to talk about on our show today, and I welcome your questions. As I've said before, let's get it started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time. With Kyle Miller.
Everybody, welcome to the show. I'm sitting here and there are a bunch of new books in front of me. Very often when new Vaughan books come out, right, when they come out, when they're launched, they bring copies to the studio and for us to use. And there's a collection of new books that look quite interesting. Conversaciones en Inglés is the new book and or the new series. There are three of them. And each one contains a series of conversations on a particular topic read by native English speakers. And then it comes with a series of questions to test your listening comprehension. So it does seem like a very interesting book because, you know, listening comprehension is so important. So I'm going to maybe we'll find a way later on, either today on the show or tomorrow, to test one of the tracks, las pistas. And I'll give you a little sample of how these books work, because they do look very interesting. Anyway, we're going to start off our program today the way we always do, with a little interactive section for you. I'm talking about the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Ah, yeah. the Twitter translation. You know how this works, right? It's that part of the show where I give you a sentence and you write in on Twitter. Okay, you can write in on Twitter and tell me how it translates into English. And now, Tino, how can people find me there on Twitter?
Tuiteanos, @IMKileMilla, o lo que es lo mismo, @IMKileMilla.
All right. I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No podemos dirigir el negocio así para siempre. No podemos. Es que no podemos dirigir el negocio así para siempre. Hombre. All right. So tell me how to say that. Let me know how to say that in English. We'll talk about it a little later on in the program.
The warm-up gym.
All right, everybody, it's that time. Oh, the music, right? You can tell it's the warm-up gym. It's time.
Smashing.
It's time for the warm-up gym, everybody. So I'm going to give you the sentence in Spanish, and you say it in English. This is one of the most popular parts of the show, Tino, right? People always say to me, oh, Kyle, es que me encanta eso. I love the warm-up gym. I love translating those sentences. Well, I'm glad. Me alegro.
Divinamente.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to... I want you to participate out loud. Okay, here we go. Number one. This is true. Hay más camellos en Siria que aquí. There are more camels in Syria than here. Hay más camellos. There are more camels in Syria than here. Okay. Number two, no hay tantos camellos aquí como en Siria. Bueno, aquí no hay. Right? So, there aren't as many camels here as in Syria. All right. So, this is a structure that you have to know. Hay que saberlo. You have to master this structure, this negative comparison. It seems much easier, right, to say there are more camels in Syria than here. So you could say, there are fewer camels here than in Syria. It's a very simple structure. Camels are countable, so we're going to say fewer. We're not going to say less, we're going to say fewer. There are fewer camels here than in Syria. This is perfect. However, it's more common to use a negative comparison. Instead of saying, there are fewer, it's more common to say there aren't as many. No hay tantos. No hay tantos camellos aquí como en Siria. There aren't as many camels here as in Syria. So this is the as. There aren't as many camels here as in Syria. There aren't as many here as in Syria. You hear the double as, the tanto como. All right. Let's try another one. Hay más luz solar aquí que en Suecia. There's more sunlight. This is true most of the year, right? There's more sunlight here than in Sweden. There's more sunlight here than in Sweden. So that means that there's less sunlight in Sweden than there is here. There are fewer camels here, but there's less sunlight here. You see this? Because sunlight, of course, is uncountable. So we're going to say less, right? Very simple. Eso es muy fácil, ¿no? Eso es muy fácil. Ya sabemos todo eso. Sin problema, no problem, right? Right, Tino? Eso es muy fácil. But, of course, I said before, it's more common to use the negative comparison. So to do that, we would say, no hay tanta gente en Suecia como aquí. There aren't as many people in Sweden as here. Remember the as. There aren't as many as. There aren't as many here as. There aren't as many people in. There aren't as many people in Sweden as here. There isn't as much sunlight. No hay tanta luz solar. Excuse me. There isn't as much. That was it, wasn't it? There isn't as much sunlight in Sweden as here. There aren't as many people in Sweden as here. You see that? So countable and uncountable. You have no excuse for making a mistake with this. You have to master it. Hay que llegar a dominarlo. Yes, now. It's the way it is, right? Do you know there are fewer Eskimos? I always say this, right? There are fewer Eskimos in Spain than there are in Canada. And that's a fact. There are not as many Eskimos in Spain as there are in Canada. Now, Eskimos, really, to be politically correct, I should say Inuit. Inuit people. And I don't know how many there are, but apparently in the world there are about 170,000. And there are a lot of them in Canada, in the Yukon, in the Northern Territories, Northwest Territory, the Yukon, Nunavut, which is another Canadian territory. Even in Quebec, Northern Newfoundland, you can have some Inuit up there. So the Inuit people, apparently about 160,000. Interesting. At least I find this interesting. Anyway, where were we? Let's try another one. Hablas tanto como tu padre. You talk as much as your father. All right, you talk as much as your father. Now, you can also say you talk as much as your father does. So you can throw in the auxiliary verb if you like. But it's more common to say you talk as much as your father does rather than saying you talk as much as your father talks. Right? Does. Repeating the auxiliary. All right, here, let's try another. Let's try another type of question. ¿Por qué no está trabajando? Él, por ejemplo, ¿vale? ¿Por qué no está él trabajando? Why isn't he working? Why isn't he working? Ya he comido más de lo que comí anoche. I've already eaten more than I ate last night. Más que comí anoche. I've already eaten more than I ate last night.
Exacto.
Exacto. Exacto. A lot, you know. All right. Ella no viene por aquí muy a menudo. She doesn't come here very often. Very often. Very often. You need to pronounce this right as well. Eh? Very. Very. Vibrating the vocal cords. Very good. The very good V. Starting with the F. And then activating the vocal cords. And we have the very good V. Vibrating. She doesn't come here very often. Okay? Es azul desde que fundamos la compañía. El logo, por ejemplo, ¿vale? ¿Eh? Es azul desde que fundamos la compañía. Cuidado. Because a lot of people are saying it is blue, but no. It has been blue. Why? Because we founded the company in the past. The company still exists. So starting in the past, continuing up to the present inclusive, that's the present perfect, my friends. It's been blue since we founded the company, right? Es azul, it's blue. Es azul desde que fundamos la compañía. It's been blue since we founded the company. Te estoy mirando. Te estoy mirando. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you.
Mira.
Eso es. Te estoy mirando desde hace 5 minutos. I've been looking at you for 5 minutes. Mm.
Es joven, sexy, muy...
I don't know what she said, but okay. Te estoy mirando desde hace 5 minutos. I've been looking at you for 5 minutes. So I'm looking at you. I've been looking at you for 5 minutes. There's some very essential grammar here. There's some very basic, important grammar. 4 or 5 minutes. So if you say durante 5 minutos, por ejemplo, también, desde hace, o durante, we're going to say 4. 4 introduces a period of time. It tells us how long something has lasted, or is lasting, or will last. We're talking about a duration. Durante, 4, not during. The word during is different. The word during places a moment into a period of time. During the radio show, Kyle told us very interesting things. During the program, we translated sentences. During the show, Kyle drank a glass of water. During the show, I learned a lot. Okay, so there's these moments. You're learning a lot in that little moment. And we've placed it into a period of time. During the movie, my phone rang. My phone rang for 30 seconds. Durante 30 segundos. For. So during can be a false friend. Sorry, durante, I should say, can be a false friend. You think, oh, it's during, but no, it's usually for. Sometimes it's during. Right? Durante el invierno. During the winter, we were, you know, we traveled or something like that. It could be, but usually, durante is usually for, so be careful. For, during, and then when you want to talk about a moment, te estoy mirando desde hace 5 minutos. I've been looking at you 4 or 5 minutes. So I started looking at you hace 5 minutos. Hace 5 minutos would be 5 minutes ago. So we use ago to talk about a punctual moment in the past when something began or something happened. Right? I saw him 2 minutes ago. I've been sitting here since 18 minutes ago. I sat down 18 minutes ago, and I've been sitting here for 18 minutes. I've been sitting in this chair since 6 o'clock. Okay? You see the difference? Okay? Dejé el colegio a los 15 años. That's not a good choice, right? I dropped out of school when I was 15. Okay. Dejé el colegio a los 15 años. Now, dejar. And we have people at home saying, give up? ¿Se puede decir? Okay, you give up a habit. You give up smoking. It's the same as to quit. Now, in this case, quit, dejé el colegio. I quit school. Okay. I quit school when I was 15. I quit smoking when I was 16. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. Grammatical examples here, folks. Grammatical examples. So to quit something, dejar de hacer algo. To quit a course, to quit school, to quit, to stop, right? But dejé el colegio would be I dropped out. So drop out is a phrasal verb to indicate leaving, abandoning a course, or ceasing membership. Stopping your membership in something. In a school, I dropped out of the team, I dropped out of the club, right? Whereas if you talk about dejar un hábito, you would say to quit. I quit smoking years ago. I quit drinking beer 2 months ago. I quit, you know, whatever. I quit drinking Coca-Cola. Not entirely true. I quit eating so much sugar, right? I gave up. So give up is the same as quit in that case. But drop out is the same as quit in the sense of abandoning a course or program or abandoning membership or inclusion in some group, okay? No puedo captar lo que dicen. Es que no puedo captar lo que dicen. I can't. Oh, phrasal verb. ¿Otra vez? ¿En serio? Mm-hmm. I can't make out what they're saying.
Es que no entiendo.
Claro. I can't make out what they're saying. I don't know. So to make out, to, in this case, captar, to understand. So when I talk to people from, Jaén, me cuesta captar lo que dicen. ¿Y a ti también? ¿No tiene a veces? ¿O no? He says sometimes. So I can't make out. I can't understand what they're saying. I can't make it out. So make out means to understand, to interpret. Can you make out what they're saying? Can you understand it? All right. So there you have it. I can't make out what they're saying. No puedo captar lo que dicen. Okay. Another expression that we have is to tell the difference. Which is, hey, why don't we go ahead? Why don't we consider that our expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
All right, the expression of the day. I have one in my script, but I'm going to give you this one, to tell the difference. It's not really an expression. It's just a, well, yeah, I guess it's an expression, sure. Which is distinguir, to tell the difference. And then we often say between. Between, if you have two things, right? Entre is between or it can be among. Cuando hablamos de más de dos cosas, we say among, okay? I can't tell the difference among the three of them. I can't tell the difference between the two of them. So, for example, if I'm sitting there with a glass of Pepsi and a glass of Coke, I can tell the difference. I can tell the difference between the two of them. But not everybody can tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. I can tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. I don't think I could tell the difference between Sprite and 7-Up. Can you, Tino? Can you tell the difference between Sprite and 7-Up? Distinguir? Yo no. Because I don't think about it enough. I don't drink those enough to know the difference, to tell the difference, right? Can you tell the difference between a British accent and an American accent? Of course. Claro que sí. Eso sí, hombre. Sometimes I have a tough time, me cuesta, telling the difference between Northern Irish accent and a Scottish accent, maybe, for example. I don't know. I have a tough time. Sometimes people can't tell the difference. It's tough to tell the difference between an American accent and a Canadian accent. Often. Okay. To tell the difference, distinguir. To make out. To decipher, but tell the difference, distinguir entre opciones. Okay? But we have another expression. To feel under the weather. Bajo, literally, bajo el tiempo. No? Excuse me. This means to be ill. To be unwell. And in a minute we're going to take a break and then I'll come back. I'll actually tell you the origin of this expression, but under the weather is a very common expression to mean you're sick. Que estás enfermo. You're ill. How are you doing? Oh, I'm a bit under the weather today. I'm going to tell you where that comes from after a break. And we have a whole lot more. Oh my gosh, what a show. We got lots to talk about in the next half hour. So whatever you do, stay with us. Don't touch that dial.
Déjate de excusas, déjate de miedos, de vergüenza. Ven a vernos, ven a conocernos, ven a hacer tu prueba de nivel. Sin compromiso, tu prueba de nivel gratis. Llámanos 911-33-5833. 911-33-5833.
El director financiero, que cubría también el área de recursos humanos, me entregó una hoja detallando el programa de inglés que él y su gente proponían acometer con la ayuda de mi empresa, de Vaughan. El presupuesto ascendía a 80.000 euros. Un buen dinero, eso sí. Tras examinar un poco la propuesta, le miro y le digo, señor Andújar, tengo una idea. ¿Por qué no me dan los 80.000 euros ahora mismo? Me los embolso y me esfumo. El pobre hombre, algo desconcertado, me mira con extrañeza. Proseguí. Señor Andújar, si acometemos este plan que usted y los suyos me proponen, no solo tirará los 80.000 euros, sino sus directivos y técnicos perderán muchas horas de su valioso tiempo, y a cambio de nada. El equivalente, diría yo, a otros 80.000 euros. De esta manera, o sea, llevándome yo el dinero y ya está, la empresa logrará reducir a la mitad la pérdida prevista. Qué atrevimiento el mío, ¿a que sí? El bueno de Andújar, porque buena persona era, menos mal, me miró como si fuera de otro planeta, pero al final me pregunta, ¿qué sugiere que hagamos? Esta escena es más o menos lo que me pasó hace unos 20 años cuando la empresa en cuestión me llamó para definir un plan de formación en inglés. Era una empresa española que acababa de ser comprada por un grupo británico. Casi toda la plantilla, directivos incluidos, estaban asustados por tener que rendir cuentas y hasta justificar su valía usando el inglés para ello. Era una empresa monolingüe. Algo que había que cambiar, pero ya. Por suerte, el señor Andújar, quizá por ser más de finanzas que de recursos humanos, me escuchó y entendió mi enfoque. Se dio cuenta, creo, de que yo tenía mucha experiencia en estas cosas, o sea, en resolver lagunas formativas. Me escuchó y después me dejó actuar. Al final, la inversión superó un poco los 80.000 euros, no mucho más. Pero en año y medio, transformamos la compañía en una máquina de hablar inglés. Hoy seguimos con ellos. Pero el enfoque es más de mantenimiento, o sea, de engrase y puesta a punto, que de mejoría. Andújar, qué buen hombre es, se jubiló hace 2 años, pero eso sí, se jubiló con un buen nivel de inglés.
¿Sabes que puedes tener un profesor Vaughan en tu empresa? Con nuestro programa Inglés in Company creamos planes de formación a medida de cada alumno de cada grupo y nuestros profesores se desplazan a tu empresa en el horario que mejor se adapte a vuestras necesidades. Inglés in Company, el método Vaughan en tu empresa. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 911-33-5831 o en grupovaughan.com.
My father's family came from Zaragoza, and now I feel comfortable speaking English. Take on any opportunity you have to talk to people, interact to people, and don't worry about making mistakes. Just go ahead and start.
Be like Manuel. Be like them.
Descubre más en grupovaughan.com.
Ven a los talleres de inglés gratuitos que Vaughan realiza cada mes en nuestras delegaciones. Conócenos. Entra en grupovaughan.com o en nuestras redes grupovaughan.com.
You're listening.
Estás escuchando
Vaughan Radio.
Lo que escuchas
to Vaughan Radio.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. We're back. Hemos vuelto. Actually, we didn't go anywhere. I'm still here. Yo sigo aquí. My name is Kyle Miller, and you're listening to The Drive Time Show on Vaughan Radio. And today, well, we're going to begin this half hour. Oh, yeah, no, I just want to say, before we move into anything else, I was talking about this expression, under the weather, to be under the weather, which means to be ill, right? Enfermo, estar enfermo. And originally it meant to feel seasick, which is like mareado when you're on the ocean, right? You're seasick, or to be adversely affected by bad weather. As you can imagine, it comes from this maritime, this marine on the water source. In the old days when a sailor was unwell, he was sent below deck to recover, away from the weather, and in fact below, under the weather. So they would send him under downstairs to be under the weather. And that was the expression. So, yeah. That's the expression, under the weather, to be ill. All right. And what we're going to move on. Oh, actually, one thing I should say as well, to be seasick. Obviously, if you're traveling in any sort of boat, you experience waves and adverse conditions on the water in a boat, seasick. If you're in a car, you get car sick. These are forms of motion sickness. And this is in your stomach, right? So you say, oh, you're feeling nauseous. Because you say in Spanish, I guess, mareado. But in English, I'm nauseous. I'm seasick. I'm car sick. But dizzy is in the head. So mareado de cabeza, vértigo, right, would be dizziness. It's a little difference there. All right?
Paragraph of the day.
All right, everybody, it's time for our paragraph of the day. And our paragraph comes from this book called Another 198 Paragraphs for Varied Use. So I'm going to read one of these paragraphs. It goes, half the city was affected by the earthquake. I don't know hardly anyone who doesn't have to reinstall plumbing fixtures or electrical wiring. Many people who need to do, will need to do major work on the foundation of their houses. I was lucky, though. Our house is near the business district, and we didn't receive the hardest shocks. I only have a few windows to replace and a few broken light bulbs and picture frames. Okay, so there was an earthquake, terremoto. There was an earthquake, and he's saying, look, half the city was affected by the earthquake. La mitad de la ciudad se vio afectada por el terremoto. Half of the city was affected by the earthquake. I don't know hardly anyone who doesn't have to reinstall plumbing fixtures or electrical wiring. No conozco a casi nadie que no tenga que volver a instalar las cañerías o el cableado eléctrico. Many people will need to do major work on the foundation of their houses. Mucha gente necesitará hacer obras en los cimientos de su casa. Aunque yo tuve suerte. Yo tuve suerte, right? Although I was lucky. Or I was lucky, though. You can say it either way. Although I was lucky. I was lucky, though. Tuve suerte. We say to be lucky. I was lucky. To be lucky. We don't say to have luck, right? It's to be lucky. Nuestra casa está cerca del distrito financiero y no hemos recibido las sacuditas fuertes. Sacudidas fuertes, excuse me. The shocks, right? The shocks. Yes, the shocks. We didn't receive the hardest shocks. Our house is near the business district, and we didn't receive the hardest shocks. I only have a few windows to replace and a few broken light bulbs and picture frames. All right. Bombillas. Tengo que reemplazar o reparar unas ventanas rotas y unas bombillas y marcos de foto. De fotos. Picture frames. All right. So now we understand this. I'm going to read it again. People at home are saying, Kyle, why? Why do you do these paragraphs? ¿Por qué? Well, in these paragraphs, we are exposed to real English. Really, it's spoken English. It's a very nice, I consider it to be a nice documentation of spoken English. They are written, of course, but they're written the way English would be spoken, typically. So you get a lot of expressions, you get a lot of phrasal verbs, and natural English. Okay, let's hear it again. Half the city was affected by the earthquake. I don't know hardly anyone who doesn't have to reinstall plumbing fixtures or electrical wiring. Many people will need to do major work on the foundation of their houses. I was lucky, though. Our house is near the business district, and we didn't receive the hardest shocks. I only have a few windows to replace and a few broken light bulbs and picture frames. Okay. There you go. That is that's our paragraph of the day. All right, I'm going to go ahead with, how about a little vocabulary, shall we, Tino? Let's get some music for vocabulary. Yep. Okay. All right, I want to talk about television. El mundo de la tele. I don't really watch much TV, but a little bit of vocabulary for you. Serie. La serie. You know, in the last 10 years, they've become, you know, series are more common than maybe more popular than movies. People get hooked on series. Series. S-E-R-I-E-S. Right? So this is, it's a series. One series. I watched one series. S-E-R-I-E-S. So don't think it's plural. Don't try to say Siri. The first Siri. No. Series. Always. One series. And 100 series, S-E-R-I-E-S. So that's the way it's pronounced, okay? And then we have temporada, is the season. ¿Cuántas temporadas hay? How many seasons are there? Breaking Bad, how many seasons were there, Tino? Five? Cinco? Five. Did you watch them all? No, he hasn't watched them all. I watched them all. I like that. You haven't watched the final season, Tino? Hombre. He's saving it, right? Yeah. And now I'm watching, I don't really watch much, but I like Better Call Saul, right? Which is a spin-off, because It comes from the origin of one, and they develop a character, a storyline from another one. Better Call Saul. Good series. All right, episodio. O también capítulo, no? Episode. Episode. So capítulo would be episode when you talk about series. When you talk about movie, or we talk about a book, capítulo would be chapter. Chapter in a book, episode of a TV show. Protagonista. We can say the protagonist, or we typically say the main character. The main character. Y el guion? The script. So you have the script, and you have, of course, guionistas, script writers. Script writers. Y la trama. Trama is the storyline. Oh, it follows an interesting storyline. Or there's a change in the storyline. Also the plot, which is like el argumento. The plot. Plot. P-L-O-T. The plot. The storyline. These are similar. Okay. The plot or the storyline. Let's see here. Los buenos y los malos. The good guys and the bad guys. Sometimes you watch a show and you find yourself cheering for the bad guys. I don't know. Depends on the series, right? The good, los buenos, the good guys. Los malos, the bad guys. Mm. Reparto, the cast. The cast, C-A-S-T. Y tema musical. Musical tune, or the musical theme. Or you can have like a theme song. Y banda sonora, which would be the soundtrack. The soundtrack. So you have famous composers who create, you know, incredible soundtracks, like John Williams, who did the soundtrack for Star Wars, right? Iconic, and done a lot of the Spielberg films and a lot of the kind of 80s and 90s classics. Anyway, there you go, folks. A little vocabulary for the day about talking about TV today on the Drive Time Show. Now, I mentioned earlier that I welcome people to write in with questions. The only problem is it's sometimes tough for me to find their questions later on. But I will take a look now and at some of the questions that you have. Remember, you can write in on Twitter or also on Instagram. I'm Kyle Miller. For this section, we call By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
All right, everybody, it's time for a question from Francisco. Francisco is writing in. He says, hi, Kyle. I'd like to know more about the such confusing prepositions on and by. So I think he means in terms of time. Hablando del tiempo, supongo, I suppose, right? Talking about time. So on would be on Friday. There will be an important meeting on Friday because it's punctual. It's at that time. It's that very day. Okay. On Friday, on Monday, on Tuesday. So it's punctual, but by means no later than. So if the boss, I've given this example before, but if the boss says, give me the report by Friday, it's like, como tarde, no later than. So you have to deliver the report to the boss no later than Friday, by Friday. By Friday, okay? But if you say, on Friday, it means punctually on Friday, so not Thursday. If you say, the boss wants you to finish the report by Friday, then if you finish it on Thursday and deliver it, oh, great, it's early, wonderful. But if he says, give it to me on Friday, then he means punctually. Not late, but also not early. Okay, so that's the main difference. And then in the physical sense, these prepositions, if you talk about the position of things, for example, then they're totally different. On, like the book is on the table. By could mean near. It's by the table. Cerca de. It's by the, I live down there by the, down by the river. Al lado del río. Cerca del río, al lado de, well. By the river, well, al lado de, al lado is actually next to. Or beside. But by would be near. Cerca de, near or close to. Okay, so depending on what you mean, but I think they're most confusing when you talk about time. So hopefully that answers your question, Francisco. Let's see. Oh, Conchi's back with a question. Hey, Conchi, she writes in and says, hi, Kyle. I'd like to know the difference, if any, between how does it look and what does it look like? Absolutely. So, how does it look? It looks great. So you're not, when you use how, you're not asking for a description of likeness. You're asking for whether it's good or bad, essentially. How does it look? Oh, it looks good. I saw the pizza they made looked great. How did it look? It looked great. What did it look like? It looked like the pizza from my favorite restaurant. Okay. So what does Tino look like? He has short hair. Almost no hair. Right? And he's wearing a t-shirt. What does he look like? How does he now actually when we use what, we're usually talking about permanent characteristics. What does let's say Santa Claus. What does Santa Claus look like? Oh, he looks, he's a big man, heavy, white hair, red cheeks, wears a red suit. What does he look like? What? Permanent. And now if I say, you know what, Tino, I saw Santa Claus yesterday. He and I had a beer down in my neighborhood. Oh, yeah? What did he look? Or how did he look? Oh, he looked good because he was relaxed because it's not Christmas time. How did he look? So how is temporary? It's the same with, you could do it with, it doesn't have to be appearance. It could be with sound. Oh, I heard the new album, the new Metallica album. How did it sound? It sounded great. What did it sound like? It sounded like most of their other albums, right? Like AC/DC albums. What do they sound like? They sound like their other albums. How do they sound? They sound great. They sound great, right? What do they sound like? They sound like classic rock. Okay. Do you see the difference? How does he look? He looks good. What does he look like? He's tall and thin. Okay? What does it sound like? What does it look like? What does it taste like? Or I cook pizza. Or yeah, I cook pizza. What does it taste like? Oh, it tastes like, it tastes like...
Comemos lo que podemos.
Comemos lo que podemos. Yeah, it tastes like delicious pizza from New York City or from Italy. How did it taste? How does it taste? It tastes good. So how? Good or bad, right? Temporary. We're talking about that specific one at that moment. So how is... It's almost like serie star, right? You're talking about with what? You're typically talking more permanent, more long-term, describing what something tends to be like. Whereas with how, you're talking about a temporary condition, okay? So hopefully that answers your question, Conchi. Conchi, Conchi, Conchi. And remember, folks, if you have questions, you can write in anytime. I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter and also on Instagram. I-M-K-Y-L-E-M-I-A-R. M-I-L-L-A-R. Write in. Ask your questions. I'm here to help you. All right?
We have a catering.
Ooh, catering. Catering.
We have a catering.
Catering. Catering. We're getting catering.
Pronunciation.
We have a catering. We have a catering. Tino, we have a... Ooh, we have a catering. Yeah. All right.
Comemos.
Yeah, comemos algo. Why not? All right, let's practice. Let's practice the way we link some words together. You know, we do different. We do this section in different styles, but today we're going to practice because of the, because of the, because of the. Por la nieve, because of the snow. So this is a fixed structure of words that are going together, and you almost have to think of it like one collection of sounds, like one, almost like one word. You know, you can't be thinking of yourself, of every word individually, right? Los niños se quedaron en casa por la nieve. The children stayed at home because of the snow. Because of the snow. No te llamé por la hora. Es que era muy tarde, ¿no? I didn't call you because of the time. I didn't call you because of the time. Lo compraste por el precio. Did you buy it because of the price? No lo compré por el color. I didn't buy it because of the color. Because of the color. El partido ha sido cancelado por mal tiempo. The match was called off because of the bad weather. Because of the bad weather. Solo fueron por la bebida gratuita. Eso es. They only went because of the free drink. And then they left. Maggie no visita a su madre debido a la distancia. Maggie doesn't visit her mother because of the distance. Because of the distance. Llegamos tarde por los retrasos. We arrived late because of the delays. We arrived late. We arrived late because of the delays. Por los retrasos. All right. Because of the. All right. Okay, everybody. There you go. Why don't we take a look at your responses on Twitter. Oh, Mr. Houses is writing in, everybody, and he says, "Hi, Kyle. I'm not sure if I got the nauseous thing right. I think you said that I'm nauseous means estoy mareado. Yes. Shouldn't it be I'm nauseated? Yes. Also, I feel nauseated. I feel nauseous. Also, either one. I fell into a tank of poo, and I'm nauseous. I would understand that if it came up, and I would be nauseated. I would understand that if I came up to you, I would be nauseated. Now, I mean, I consider them basically the same. Nauseous, nauseated. I don't know. I'm sure there's a difference, but I don't know what it is. I'll have to look it up. But mareado, when you're talking about in your stomach, to be honest, a more casual expression is sick to your stomach. Oh, I feel sick to my stomach. I feel sick to my stomach. I feel like I'm going to vomit. Sick to my stomach, mareado. This is much more common than saying, oh, I feel nauseated. Sounds very formal. Okay? But in the head, it's dizzy. All right. The sentence, though, for our Twitter translation, como no podemos dirigir el negocio así para siempre. And we have Jerónimo, he writes in and says, we can't manage the business that way forever. All right, dirigir el negocio, manage the business. I kind of like, Saeed says, we can't run the business this way forever. Okay, good, I like that one, the business. We can't run the business this way forever, María Ángeles, good. We can't run this business this way forever. Correct. Jesus. Manolo. We can't keep running the business in that way. We don't say in that way, just that way or this way. Así, this way. We can't do it this way. Right? No se dice in this way, just this way, that way. We can't do it this way. We can't do it that way. We have to do it a different way. Okay? Hopefully that makes sense. And so no podemos dirigir el negocio así para siempre. We can't run the business this way forever. Para siempre. Forever. I have to take a break, but I won't take a break forever. I'll just take a break for about 4 minutes, okay? Cuatro minutos nada más, just a few minutes, and I'll be back with plenty more. We have an interesting half hour. I'm going to tell you an interesting story in our weird news after the break. We're also going to look at a little history from NASA and plenty more. Lots to squeeze into our final half hour, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Si no te apuntas a los 6 días en Baugan Town, lo único que podemos recomendar a cambio son 6 meses viviendo y trabajando en el extranjero, en un país de habla inglesa. Solo 6 días en Baugan Town te aupa más que 6 meses fuera. ¿No nos crees? Manda a Baugan Town a un amigo empleado que esté desesperado con el inglés y obsérvale 6 días después. El cambio que verás te sorprenderá. La inversión en tiempo y dinero tendrá un retorno impresionante.
Este año quiero recomendarte nuestro programa de formación más completo y potente que multiplicará tus oportunidades. Seguro que has oído hablar de él. Es nuestro máster en inglés profesional. Además, lo tienes disponible en todos los horarios, mañanas, tardes o fin de semana. La próxima convocatoria está ya muy cerca y, como siempre, a estas alturas ya son pocas las plazas que quedan. Si este año quieres ver un cambio significativo en tu inglés, esta es la mejor opción. ¿Por qué no reservas tu cita para hacer tu prueba de nivel? Sin compromiso, llámanos 91-133-5833. Toma nota. 91-133-5833. Sin duda, podemos asegurarte que realizando el esfuerzo y dedicación necesaria, avanzarás muy notablemente con el dominio del inglés y te sentirás cómodo o cómoda en cualquier ámbito, tanto profesional como personal. Ven a hacer tu prueba de nivel. Sin compromiso, tu prueba de nivel gratis. Llámanos 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833.
Experiencia laboral, 2 años. Nivel de inglés... Yo qué sé, ¿qué pongo?
En Baugan te lo ponemos aún más fácil. Llama al 91-133-5833 e infórmate sobre el WebMIP, el máster en inglés profesional de fin de semana. 91-133-5833. Infórmate, WebMIP, máster en inglés profesional de fin de semana. Para ti, que no tienes tiempo, pero estás decidido a solucionar de una vez por todas tu problema con el inglés. 91-133-5833.
Ven a hacer tu prueba de nivel. Sin compromiso, tu prueba de nivel gratis. Llámanos 91-133-5833.
Disney English Baugan está disponible en varias ciudades de España.
Para niños y niñas de 4 a 9 años.
Búscalo en grupobaugan.com y apúntalos ya.
Hello, good morning. A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas. Más radio, más Baugan, mucho más Richard Baugan Live.
Con Let's Cook te va a quedar un inglés rico, rico. Ya tienes Let's Cook en cualquiera de nuestras tiendas Baugan o en baugantienda.com. Consíguelo antes de que se enfríe.
En Vaughan pensamos en todo. Por eso, y por petición popular, lanzamos nuestro libro Inglés para ligar y todo lo que viene después. Consíguelo ya en cualquiera de nuestras tiendas Vaughan o en vaughantienda.com.
¿Sabes que puedes tener un profesor Vaughan en tu empresa? Con nuestro programa Inglés in Company creamos planes de formación a medida de cada alumno de cada grupo y nuestros profesores se desplazan a tu empresa en el horario que mejor se adapte a vuestras necesidades. Inglés in Company, el método Vaughan en tu empresa.